Hey guys,
Hey, what's up, you bunch of faggots? Hey, Kyle and Ryan, it's Austin.
Hey, Ryan and Kyle, it's Austin.
Hey, Kyle and Ryan,
Hey guys, it's Austin.
Hey guys, it's Austin. I just got the stickers.
Hey guys, it's Austin.
Hey guys, it's Austin.
You guys ever get this bullshit?
Hey guys, it's Austin. All right, wait, no. Hey guys, it's Kyle and Orion.
Kyle and Orion, what's up? Welcome back to Itch Hat.
Yeah.
Episode 16, motherfuckers.
Now, last episode, we got the most comments we've ever gotten on any episode ever. We got, what did we get, 36 comments?
We got 36, though some are yours, but still.
A few are mine, yeah, but still. I don't know if last episode was particularly interesting or if it was just because there was kind of a back and forth going on in the comments or what, but we got the most comments we've ever gotten. And
ever.
In a way, I'm actually a little disappointed.
What?
Because we asked for suggestions on what to rap about. Because
oh,
we're gonna
yeah,
rap
the rap thing.
This
okay.
show. We asked about suggestions for what to rap about. We get the most comments we've ever gotten on any episode, and only two people suggested anything for us to rap about.
As far as that, yeah, I'm disappointed as well. I thought you were disappointed about the comment.
No.
I'm like, what the fuck do you want, dude?
No, I'm happy.
But yeah, as far as the you know, the suggestions for the rap, it's pretty minimal. It's
yeah, where was everybody at on that one?
Yeah, what the fuck?
But we did get a bunch of comments. For example, I was concerned last time that I was drunk and I was rambling and I thought maybe that would be boring for everybody else. And maybe it still was. I don't know.
I thought it was hilarious.
But Austin said drink more often.
Yeah.
So at least Austin likes it.
Yeah, it was good. Instead of you like normally being like very specific about shit. And one example would be like the German guy. Instead of saying his name and all that shit, you were like, some German fag.
Well, I didn't have the page pulled up with his name on it, but
it was good. It was more to the point, I think. It was
I don't
good.
Know why the German guy sounded like that when I was
like Fonzie. Like
yeah, Dave said, I like how the homeopathic German sounds like Fonzie. I don't know why I did it in that voice. Nikki, we were talking about animals again a little bit. We were talking about like I was talking about animal rights and stuff and how
yeah.
if we all went vegan all of a sudden,
yeah.
there'd be all these animals and what are we going to do with them?
Yep.
You can't just let them all out to roam around and do what they want because they're either going to just die out or there's going to be some kind of cow infestation somewhere, you know. You can't just let them all go. And Nikki says animals are raised to be eaten. They aren't already there. So if you exhaust your supply and don't replace it, there are no animals you need to release when you stop eating them. And does that make sense to you? Because it didn't make any sense to me.
It made sense to me, but
well, we don't
to a point. I mean,
we don't eat them as they're made. You know, like
it didn't
as they're
really
born.
Address anything?
Well, it doesn't make sense because they're still like if we shut down
like
all
like,
and even if we consumed everything that was still in the store, if we shut down all production of meat products, animal
yeah,
products,
yeah.
there'd be all these
Suddenly.
Animals that are left. It's not like they're building them, you know, and
yeah.
and they're building them as demand requires. There's all these animals sitting on farms and they make more of them than they need at any particular time because they need more of them to make more of them.
There are certain farms, you know, out there for animals. They raise them for this industry.
You can't make more cows out of no cows. So
yeah.
if you have a farm with cows that you're selling for beef, you're always still going to have some cows, even if you've sold a bunch of them to be made into beef. It's, you know, they don't just go.
They're going
to
sell.
So her comment didn't make any sense to me. How did it make sense
okay.
to you? Can you explain it to me?
Well, basically like saying you raise, you know, these animals for the business, the industry.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. But when you exhaust all of that, you stop eating that, there's nothing left.
But if we all just agreed to stop eating that, we wouldn't have exhausted it. That's the problem.
That's where it was iffy.
So is she saying that what we should do is all say, hey, we're not going to eat meat anymore, but we'll go ahead and eat up the animals that are left?
The machine stops. And then what do we do with... Yeah. So
that was my whole point, was what do we do with what's left? Do we go ahead and eat what's left, even though we've all agreed it's immoral to do so, just so we don't have any animals we have to release into the wild?
Yeah.
Is that what she's saying?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I got out of it, anyway.
That sounds worse to me. If we've all suddenly agreed that it's immoral to eat animals,
yeah, what are you
then
gonna
now
do?
We're all eating animals, at least for a little while, knowing full well that we all think it's evil.
Yeah.
That seems worse to me.
And these places have employees that are, you know, employed to slaughter them and raise them in certain ways. Like with veal, you know, they chain little cows to little posts and they're not allowed to move and they have limited everything. So they're, you know, pretty much just restricted to be, you know, in that little area. And they grow up very tender and juicy for us all. But
what was
the point?
Yeah, what was your point there?
The point?
I don't know where you were going with that about veal.
So what do you do with all these employees and all this? You know, it's an industry. There's animals left. You know, what do we do? But what do we do with the workers?
Right.
You know, everything. It's kind of an off topic.
I
didn't really pertain to anything, really, that we talked about.
Well, no, it did, because I had said, what would you do with all of those animals? And now she's basically, what I read her comment as meaning was, we don't have to do anything with those animals because they're produced to be eaten. They will be eaten. And then when we stop eating them, there won't be any left. But that doesn't make any sense, because of course there will.
There will be.
Because that's how it works. You keep some so you can make more.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
What else? Oh, Dave said when he said alternative medicine, he didn't really mean alternative medicine. He meant alternatives to medicine, meaning like if you need to lower your cholesterol, maybe you don't necessarily need to take Lipitor. You just need to start exercising and not eating bullshit, you know? And that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
I don't want to...
And I knew he meant that all along, but...
I don't want to dwell on the alternative medicine thing again.
Yeah,
but
we brought that up.
So that was clarified.
Thank you, Dave.
Then Dave also suggested that we rap about our previous 15 episodes in the comments.
Oh, yeah,
they
the
got.
Rap.
Oh. Yeah, the rap. We're at this particular moment, we're technically still working on it, but I think by the time this show comes out, it'll be done and we should play it. We should be playing it at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And Dave, we ended up going with Dave's idea mostly because nobody left any comments except for Dave and Austin about what we should rap about.
Yeah.
So the whole time we were waiting and waiting and waiting for days and days.
The week ran out, yeah.
And then our time ran out. We were like, oh, what are we going to do? And the easiest one seemed to be that one.
Yeah.
Because all of Austin's ideas, which were great, but all of them were kind of high concept. And
a little too in depth. Yeah.
We weren't sure if we could do it in the time allotted.
Yeah.
Well, most of his ideas were kind of high concept. One of them was Aileen wants to sex Orion's meaty cock. That probably wouldn't have been so hard, but...
That wouldn't be hard, but yeah, we got to relate it to everybody.
But Aileen left us, what was it, 22 ideas for rap songs. Or no, did I say Aileen? Austin. Austin left us 22 ideas for rap songs. And I don't know, I'm just a little disappointed that nobody else bothered.
Yeah.
Especially with all the comments we got. But then we got a comment from Allie. Allie said, just wanted to let you know that I'm another European listener. I'm in England, which, you know, so that bumps up our count of European listeners.
I hope Allie isn't a dude from England named Allie.
Everybody in England has
I was about
names.
To say, yeah, Allie, woo, baby. But what if it's a dude? You never know now.
The Rob 88 is actually a chick.
Really?
No, I'm
no.
All their names are reversed.
You guys, stop it. But anyway.
Then Gary seemed to get kind of upset.
Gary.
I don't know if maybe it was just because it's writing and I couldn't hear, you know, how it was supposed to sound, but Gary seemed kind of upset.
Maybe a little upset. This kind of pissed me off.
He said, I think you should definitely be able to have a private Hogwarts or voodoo school if you wanted. If folks don't like it, they don't need to send their kids there. Which, I mean, I kind of agree with, but the thing is, it depends. Do you think that the government should stay out of school completely? Because if that's the case, then sure, I guess you can send your kids wherever you want. But if you agree that the government should be involved in regulating schooling...
You only have so many options.
Then the government probably shouldn't be allowing you to teach falsehoods to children.
Yeah.
You know, you can't teach kids that the world is flat at school. You can't do that.
Yeah. But anyway...
Then he said, Kyle, you are definitely an atheist, not agnostic. You believe there is no greater power and will never agree to anything to the contrary. And I responded to this comment, but basically what I said was, I am an agnostic in the most technical sense possible. I do not believe that I know for a fact that there is no God. What I believe is that it's not really possible to know for a fact anything, really. I mean, I could die and end up in some kind of purgatory or at the gates of heaven or the gates of hell, and then I'll be like, oh shit, I guess I was wrong. But, you know,
there's no absolute way of knowing.
I don't know there isn't a God any more than I know that I'm sitting here talking into this microphone right now. I could be dreaming. I could be in a coma. I could be a computer simulation for all I know.
Yeah.
But based on all the evidence that I've seen, it's pretty safe to say that I am, in fact, sitting here talking into this microphone right now.
That's what it comes down to. It's a safe bet.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about the existence of God.
Experienced in your life. Yeah.
Gary also says, brain dead Buddhist Jew man, which that doesn't sound very nice, is going to spend the rest of his life happy and content. Can you say the same?
This is where I got pissed off.
Well, what I said to that was, of course he's not going to spend the rest of his life happy and content. Nobody is. Everybody's life has its ups and downs, and nobody's going to live out the rest of their life content and happy. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but it came across like saying because he has some understanding of something we do not, he will be happy and we won't. Like, he's making our understanding, our beliefs, out to be nothing. And that kind of pissed me off. Like,
well,
believing in nothing is not a belief.
Well, believing in nothing isn't a belief. That's
atheism
is not a
personal conviction.
System.
Like, overall, like
atheism is not a belief system. It's a lack of belief. It's a default state of a human being. If you were born somewhere where they didn't tell you there was a God, you wouldn't believe in a God.
Yeah,
unless you made one up yourself.
And I don't want to define, you know, believing. But what I meant, you know, a personal conviction, you know, what you establish as, you know, what you believe to be truth. And to say that, you know, if you lack that, you won't be happy, it just kind of pissed me off.
Well, yeah, the other thing is there's nothing inherently negative about not believing in God. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't make your life worse to not believe in God.
That's why I got pissed.
It just really
upset me.
And I can't think of any way in which it would. If anything, you know, people who are really religious, not all of them, certainly not all of them, but some of them, like there was this lady recently who wouldn't let her kid get treated for cancer because she thinks that modern medicine shouldn't take care of it, that's playing God, and that instead we should let God take care of it, and we should pray for
him.
Fucking
crazy, yeah.
That's nutty. If anything, religion has more potential to cause harm than just the absence of it. So I don't see how not believing in God would make me less happy and content than this Buddhist Jew guy. But anyway, then he goes on to say, "You have killed the religion issue. I understand your view. You've hammered it home, but it's getting boring. This is quickly becoming just an anti-religion podcast. You guys are hilarious. It just seems repetitive. I don't know how you keep getting comments when you rip apart and insult everyone who doesn't agree with you and even a few who do." And see, now that one really got
to me.
That's
not our fault.
That's the one that got to me the most.
That was the one.
Because I don't think we do rip apart and insult everyone who comments.
Yeah. I don't know if he was exaggerating.
I can only think of one instance where we ripped apart anyone who commented, and that was Bobby Market. And that's because she's an idiot.
Yeah.
Her comment was completely retarded. Anybody reading that who is not also completely retarded can see why she got ripped apart.
Yeah, it was
anybody else, even if they disagree with us, I'm willing to hear them out, and I will tell them my side of the issue, but that doesn't mean I'm ripping them apart.
It was more of a, we threw some comedic aspects into that, too.
And yeah, there's like a little friendly ribbing. Like, I think Gary went on later in another comment to mention that Aileen gets it a lot. Aileen can fucking take it, and Aileen knows it's a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
When I called Aileen gay in the last episode, Aileen knew that that was a joke.
Yeah, we're just fucking around, but it, you know, we were ripping her apart because she is an idiot, but...
You mean Bobby Market? Not Aileen.
Yeah. Okay. To be more specific.
I didn't know
if
you were reverting to the female pronouns again.
Dude,
with Aileen.
I keep digging myself in with Aileen. God damn. But yeah, we ripped her apart, or mostly you.
Right. And to be honest, I don't even feel like I did it that effectively because I had all these things I wanted to say, but then I found her MySpace at the last minute and that's all
just
I could think
about. Just because you call someone a whore.
Everything
you know?
Else fell out of my head.
Yeah.
No, Bobby had it coming. I don't take any of that back. But anybody else, I don't think we've really insulted or ripped apart. So I don't really know where that even came from.
I don't know.
And,
I guess he was exaggerating based on, you know, just simple disagreement. I don't know.
Well, later he made another comment that said, "I'm definitely not saying I don't love the show. You folks crack me up. I never make it through a whole episode without laughing. Even when you were tearing apart poor Bobby. Every time someone posts a link on Facebook, it comes with that horrible pic." And I'm not sure why that is, actually, because it's not the most recent episode. But if you post a link on Facebook...
I have no idea.
It links to that
it just looks for a pic.
Like, the little preview shows that episode. Like, it shows the text from that episode, and it shows Bobby Market. I don't know why.
I don't know either. It's not our fault.
But then he says, Aileen takes a lot of crap, too. Otherwise, it's mostly telling folks they're wrong and making them sound dumb. The problem I have with that is if you're wrong, and if I think you're wrong, and I give my reason for why I think you're wrong, and that makes you sound dumb, that's not really my fault.
Yeah, I agree.
But
and you should speak up, for God's sakes. I mean, shit.
Not saying that it's not funny either. I just feel leery every time I comment because you might read it in a funny voice and tell me how nuts I am. And I wonder if others feel the same. Well, don't post things that are nuts.
Well, I think that's the beauty of this. Like, we can say whatever we want and people can comment, you know, in any challenge, everything we say. If you don't agree with it, and I respect Gary in that aspect.
Yeah, for the record, even though I tore Bobby Market apart, I didn't like ban her from the site or anything. She's more than welcome to come back and say more shit.
Yeah, we welcome that.
But if it's retarded, I'm going to treat it the same way.
And you can come back at, you know, at Kyle or I, you know, and
but if she felt
up.
Misrepresented and wanted to come back on and say, okay, that last comment wasn't really what I meant to say, and then elaborate or challenge something else that I said or that we said.
No sugarcoating in this shit.
You're more than welcome to do it. But if you do say something that I think is nuts, I'm going to tell you that I think it's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold back. So just...
And, you know, say I say something, you know, it's just, it's how you feel, you know?
Yeah. If Orion said something I thought was nuts, I would tell him.
He could potentially rip me apart. And I respect that. That's how we roll.
And I imagine he would tell me if I said something that he thought was nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do dig the show. Thanks for taking the last comment seriously. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But
overall, I respect Gary for challenging, you know, what we've said. He's pretty much been the only one other than Bobby Market. But
maybe since he actually knows Bobby Market personally, maybe he feels like he has to. I don't know.
I don't know if the listeners know that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we didn't say that. Yeah. Gary knows Bobby Market personally. And we didn't find that out until after we had
that was the most awkward moment in a way, but... The most funny, yeah, we were talking to Gary, and I'm like, yeah, Kyle totally ripped her apart. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's my cousin.
Right.
I was dying. I go, Kyle, come here. You got to hear this.
Oh, well, I don't take it back.
Yeah. But
anyway, the Rob 88 said, great show again. Have you seen The Big Lebowski? It'd be cool to hear an episode on that film.
Fuck that. No, we're not going to make a whole show about The Big Lebowski. That was a great movie, but...
The Big Lebowski was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I've ever heard talk about that movie at length has just annoyed the hell out of me. Like, it's got this weird cult following or something. And
yeah.
People who love to quote that movie and talk about it, like, it is their Bible. It's really bizarre
anything
to me.
Anything with a cult following.
It was
yeah.
a great movie. I don't have anything against it, but... I can't imagine talking about that for even half an hour.
It was a good movie. Fuck. Move on.
But yeah, I don't know about fuck that. I mean, it was at least a suggestion.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the comment.
Oh, John said, as an occasional believing and even less, more, in parentheses, occasional practicing Catholic, I have to take issue with Gary's comment. This is about his earlier comments.
Yeah.
Personally, I care less about what someone says than how he says it. I'm reading a book by Christopher Hitchens now, not because I agree with him, I rarely do, but because he puts across his viewpoint honestly and elegantly with erudition, wit, and brio. I'm not sure what brio means. I will freely admit that. But then he says, I don't think this has become an anti-religion podcast, but there are moments when it seems a negative podcast. Part of why I was glad you did a video game podcast was because it gave you guys a chance to talk about something you loved instead of something you hated. I admit to finding some of the Resident Evil discussion then disappointing. Here were some more idiots to knock down, but I still enjoy the podcast and I admire you guys for doing it, and I still listen. Without trying to sound aggressive, I have to suggest that if Gary finds it too repetitive and boring, he can always stop listening. So I appreciated that comment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I can certainly see how the show seems to have a negative vibe to it.
Yeah, this one really stuck out as well. The overall, things coming up and we pretty much bash them or whatnot, knock them down a peg.
The problem I have
them,
is for me at least, the stuff that I have the most to talk about, the most to say about are things that I don't like. If you wanted me to talk about stuff that I do like, it would.
Where's the input? Yeah.
There's nothing special to say about it except I like this and I like that.
I agree.
And you can point out different facets of it, but all you're going to say is, I like this.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
At least that's how I feel about it. So, you know, when I'm looking for news stories to talk about or when I'm, you know, just thinking about stuff to talk about, it's always something controversial or something that I think is stupid and funny because it's stupid or, you know, stuff like that. So for me, it's hard to talk at length about anything that I like. It's easier to talk about things that I don't, things that I disagree with and the reasons why I disagree with them.
Yeah, I personally find that more interesting. But at the same time, this kind of stood out because, you know, I respect that. And it's some input that we talk mostly negative. And he offered, you know, why don't you talk about things more positive?
You have anything positive to talk about, Orion?
Well, I'm pretty sure that came across in the masturbation episode. Episode 2. Man, yeah. I went all out on that. And masturbation, you know, the high school stories and all that stuff, you know, I feel balanced. I don't know.
I do think the show is probably at its best when we have personal stories to tell rather than reading off news stories and talking about them. Although I think there's value in that too. But I don't know. Does everybody agree that they don't want to hear so much negativity? I did agree with Gary that I think the religion stuff probably gets repetitive and maybe we should lay off that a little bit just because I feel like personally I'm repeating myself, you know?
Yeah.
Each episode where it comes up, I say basically the same things because that's how I feel about it, and I feel it applies to all these different stories.
So, yeah, I agree with that. It'll get repetitive, but it seems to come up a lot.
But in terms of just the negativity, I don't know. Like, do people like that? Like, I kind of like to hear people go off on stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, if you want to get interactions with people, you got to challenge things. You can't just throw something out that they'll agree with. I mean, like, if we talked about video games, that's good and fun, but, you know, I like that video game. Mm-hmm, okay. But there's no real, you know, challenge or interaction.
Let's try it. Let's try it.
All right.
Orion, what is your favorite video game?
My favorite is...
Or what's a video game that you really like? Doesn't have to be your favorite, because that makes it difficult, you know, trying to narrow down your favorite.
I hate favoritism, yeah, because it'll change. But the one I like the most, if I were going to play one, say right now, is Manhunt. That is my
Manhunt
favorite.
Is your favorite. And why is Manhunt your favorite video game?
It's my favorite because I like the aspects of the game, and it's very dark and it terrifies me. Basically,
see, I don't like to be scared. I've never understood that. People love scary movies. They love haunted houses.
But it's really hard to scare you with all the shit out there.
Well, that's not the problem.
Say you went to see a movie. Is it really going to scare you? But if it did,
well, most of the time, if I watch a scary movie and it scares me, it's like cheap, you know, jump in your seat scares. You know, not like I leave the movie scared, but I'm in the movie and something flashes on screen and it makes me jump.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of scare. And I don't get anything out of that. That's not pleasant for me.
It's not pleasant.
Why do being scared is a negative emotion? I don't understand why people enjoy it.
It's
so much.
It's kind of a rush. I don't know. I'm so fucking calloused, you know, like nothing really scares me anymore. You go to the fucking amusement park. I've been on all the rides, all the scary rides. Nothing scares me anymore.
Well,
I've seen all the scary movies. Nothing really does it. But when it does, it's like it's new and exciting, and it's a rush.
Well, I don't go to the amusement park to be scared. Like, I don't get on a roller coaster because it's scary. In fact, my least favorite part of a roller coaster is the first hill, you know, when you're going click, 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 click.
Why is that not scary? You could potentially die.
I didn't say
that failed.
No, I didn't say it wasn't scary, but the thing is, that's the scariest part, and that's my least favorite part.
Okay.
I don't go on a roller coaster to be scared. It's exhilarating when you're going down the hills and stuff, but it's not scary. I'm not afraid of the ride, and if I was, I probably wouldn't go on it.
Okay. Well, so you look at every ride, and you're like, yeah, I can do this. I can understand that, but
would it be fun to go on this roller coaster? Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Like there's a ride at Cedar Point, which is an amusement park near here called the Power Tower. And basically what it is it's a tower with seats on all four sides of it.
Yeah.
And they're all facing out, so there's nothing in front of you at all. You got a harness that goes down over your shoulders. You're in this seat. There's nothing in front of you or really to the sides of you except other people riding it.
It's like a stroller without the wheels or the basket around you.
And you go up this tower way, 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 way up in the sky, real slow.
Higher than any roller coaster.
And you get to the top of it and you can see the whole park and you're just sitting up there and all of a sudden it drops. And my least favorite part of that ride is when I get to the top and we're just sitting there and I'm waiting for it to drop.
Yeah, the thing jerks. You get to the top and it's like, cluck, cluck. And you're like shaken and you're barely harnessed.
And you're just sitting there waiting for it to drop. And that part is kind of scary, but that's my least favorite part of the ride. My favorite part is once you start falling and you get about halfway down.
Yeah.
And you just realize you're basically like free floating in the air. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
Halfway
it's like
down,
flying.
You're like, it's less scary and more fun. But the whole, maybe it's just the accomplishment. Like because you were scared, you survived it. I don't know. I've read enough stories where all kinds of shit can happen at the amusement park, you know?
Well, sure, yeah. There was a kid like last year that got decapitated at Six Flags.
Like, it'd be raining out, and they'll close, you know, all the rides, but then they'll reopen them. You don't know what can happen, you know? Fucking thing will, like the chain, you know, cranking you up the hill will go loose or something. That's kind of the thrill for me in some aspects.
But so you like being scared, though?
Yeah,
I think it's the vast majority. Horror movies sell really, really well.
It's the rush, yeah. Like,
I don't get it.
Say it again and again.
I don't get it. I get the rush, but it's not fear.
When you're scared, you get this like adrenaline going. When do you get that ever in your everyday life?
I don't get it in my everyday life. But I get it on a roller coaster, it's not from fear. It's not fear that gives me that rush on a roller coaster. It's soaring through the air.
It's that freedom feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you get that at some point. But when I'm scared, it's new and exciting. So
It's more like punching somebody in the face.
Yeah.
Like if you all of a sudden just punch somebody right in the face, that would probably feel pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not because you're scared. It's like an adrenaline rush, but it's not because you're like, oh shit, I'm so frightened right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what a roller coaster is like for me. And I don't understand.
Well, like we mentioned before, like when we were in that car and we were in high school and the friend behind me threw the Slurpee at the Marine in his pickup truck and we were driving like top speed trying to escape, I was scared like this guy would somehow fucking cut us off, get out and like beat the shit out of us. But we got away and it was like afterwards, I'm like, just like, yeah, that was intense because... When do I ever feel that heart-pumping adrenaline?
Well, this might be irrational for me to say, but I wasn't really scared when that happened.
Are you kidding me?
No, I wasn't afraid of those guys. I knew we were going to get away, but it was the act of getting away that was like a rush.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because I was afraid.
I didn't think we'd get away, so.
I knew we would.
Because that friend was driving.
The worst that I thought would happen is that we were driving crazy and we'd get pulled over. But if we did get pulled over, and even if those guys stopped with us, they're not going to come over while there's a police officer there and start beating the shit out of us. So I wasn't scared.
Okay.
But I guess, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I don't get fear. So that's why you like that game. You like Manhunt. It's because it's scary.
It scares me so bad. Like I said, I'd have to sit in the dark to play the game, and I drink a fifth of whiskey, not a whole fifth, but I drink from
a fifth of whiskey.
Yeah, and I'd have to get intoxicated just to play it. Otherwise, I'd be too scared to play it.
When I was a kid, and it wouldn't bother me now in the least, but when I was a little kid and Doom came out, my dad would play Doom.
Yeah.
And he'd play it like really late at night, and I'd watch him play it. And it was a cool game, but it was a little scary, so I never played it by myself, at least not in the dark. And it's not scary at all now.
Well,
but it was to me at the time as a little kid.
Yeah.
And it was like cutting edge technology at the time. It was 3D first person. You kind of felt like you were that actual dude and there's demons and shit all over the place.
Yeah. That's
zombies.
That's the magic of it. You know, with video games, with the cutting edge, you can apply yourself. You can like picture yourself in that position.
Yeah.
And the reality is what you're seeing. And it's... It can be terrifying.
So Manhunt is your favorite video game?
Yes.
A lot of people will object to that.
But
What's your favorite video game?
Like if you wanted to go play a video game, right now?
I really like the game Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo, but that's a role-playing game.
Yeah.
So it's not like an action game.
Well, it doesn't
or
have to be scary. Just
no. I'm just like it's
talking positive. What's your favorite video
game? One of my favorite video games, at least, is Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo. It's a role playing game, and it involves time travel. Like yeah. You start out and you go to this fair called the Millennial Fair, and it's supposed to celebrate the millennium. Yeah. And you go there and you're walking around, you go to different like booths and things. Like there's a race going on that you can bet on.
Yeah.
And there's like a little haunted house kind of game thing where they play different carnival games. There's a drinking contest game. They changed it to like root beer in the root US, beer. But it was alcohol in the Japanese version.
Of course.
There's one of those bells, like, you know, you hit it with a hammer to test your strength. There's one of those.
Like a carnival game. Okay.
But then there's this chick who's showing off this teleporter she designed, and it's like a friend of yours. And she asks, you run into this princess, but you're not supposed to know she's a princess at that time.
Okay.
And you literally run into her, and you both fall over, and this pendant flies off of her neck. And you go pick up the pendant and you give it back to her. And then she wants you to like take her around the fair.
And
so you do for a while.
She's a hottie. Your character wants to bone her.
I don't know about that. It's not really.
All right. Never mind.
It's stated. But
all right.
So you take her around the fair and then it's time to go see that teleporter thing I was talking about. So you go to see that and your friend's like, hey, check out my teleporter and we need a volunteer. So you volunteer to do it. And you get on one side of the teleporter and you show up on the other side. And they're like, yay, that's amazing. Do we have another volunteer? And then the princess chick wants to do it. So she gets on the teleporter and things start fucking up and her pendant starts glowing. And all of a sudden she disappears into a vortex and just doesn't come back. And the pendant's left there. And then you go and you pick up the pendant and like everybody's like, what the hell are we going to do? You pick up the pendant and you say, fire up that teleporter again. And then you go through the vortex and then you find out you've gone back in time. And and that's how the game starts. And the whole thing is a time travel thing.
That's cool. That'd make a great like TV show or movie. Yeah, definitely.
So that's a pretty cool game. And actually, I didn't know if I was going to bring this up or not, but there was a group that were creating a ROM hack, a modification of that game.
Yeah.
Where they take the actual ROM, which is the data off the cartridge dumped onto a computer. They take that and they take it in all these different tools like hex editors and things, and they'll change everything in it. And they made a sequel to the game out of it.
On their own, yeah.
On their own, just fans of the game, made a sequel of the game using the same engine. And in theory, if you had the right hardware, you could burn that onto a cartridge and play it on the actual Super Nintendo, which is really cool to me.
Fucking awesome.
Well, that was due to be released on the 31st of this month.
Yeah.
And like 2 weeks ago, maybe? 3 weeks, maybe?
2 weeks? 2 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks ago, they got a cease and desist letter from Square Enix, which is the company that made the game.
How long in the making was this?
Like 5 years.
5 years these fans were just...
Off and on. I mean, it wasn't straight development
from the beginning to the end.
But like, yeah.
Everybody's got a day job. But yeah, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, they're almost done. 98% of the way.
I have mixed feelings about that.
And assist.
Because, well, Square Enix recently re-released that same game on the Nintendo DS. So they could kind of maybe say that this could be competing with that game.
Yeah.
You know, like people could just download this.
So they had
and play
like
it.
A sequel. Already?
No, it was the same game. It was just re-released for the DS.
I see. Okay.
But they could, you know, they could claim that they're currently, it's not an obsolete game anymore, you know, like they re-released it. So now it's new again.
Okay.
So they could say that, you know, oh, this could be competing with our game. Plus, it requires you to have the ROM in the first place, which technically you could have legally because you could have dumped it yourself. But 99% of people with ROMs do not have the hardware to dump the ROM themselves. So they've downloaded it from the internet.
Okay.
So even if they own the game, they didn't dump it themselves. But I have mixed feelings about it because, on the one hand, it's their property. It's their intellectual property. They have the right to say.
Technically, yes.
You know, we're not going to allow this. On the other hand, it's really shitty that they did it at the last fucking minute. But I think that's partly because, you know, like if I said today, I'm going to make a sequel to Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
And I started doing it. Chances are I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be such a subpar quality thing that there's no comparison.
Okay, okay.
But if Nintendo saw that I was like 2 weeks away from releasing it and it was a quality experience.
It was awesome.
Then they'd probably hit me with a cease and desist letter,
I see.
You know? So
okay.
That's probably why
that
it took them
sense.
So long to do it.
Assholes, man.
But I really wanted to play that game. So that's really my only like man, that was shitty to do because I really wanted to play it. Man, what else do we like?
Oh, positive thing. I love oral sex.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about oral sex?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay. All right. Well, what else? See, I like a lot of nerdy shit. So talking about stuff that I like is probably boring nerdy for shit. Other people. Like, for example, I'm a big fan of like plastic models, like model kits.
Yeah.
Primarily not things like, you know, motorcycles and cars and planes and tanks and shit like that. I tend to like more
original.
There's something called kit bashing that people do where they'll buy a bunch of different model kits and then they'll make a new model just using pieces from the other ones.
Ooh.
Something completely new. So I'm into that kind of stuff and like, you know, more sci-fi kind of shit, but it's really nerdy shit.
Yeah.
Stuff that nobody else would give a fuck about.
Yeah.
I'm into prop replication. There's a site called the Replica Prop Forum where people will make replicas of props from movies. Like, people have made the pulse rifle from Aliens, and people have put together, like, Terminator endoskeletons, and...
There's a lot of stuff out there, and I'm kind of divided. Like, it's really impressive to me because it's, you know, average everyday people just out there with shitty day jobs.
Right.
And they're making this incredible shit. But on the other hand, it's like, what are you going to get from that?
What do you mean, what are you going to get from that? What do you get from playing a video game? What do you get from anything else?
That's true.
What do you get from making a sculpture, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
It's just cool.
I keep thinking, like,
it's just fun to
make it, and then people see it online, they're like, super cool, but then what else?
Let's say you built the pulse rifle from Aliens.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with it? Well, you can take it. If you're a super nerd, you can take it to conventions as part of a costume.
Yeah.
Or you could wear, like, you could put together a costume and take it around on Halloween. Or you can hang it on your wall and mount it like an art piece, you know, like would do with a painting or anything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a cool thing to have.
It's nice to share.
You know, why
it.
Do you buy posters to put on the walls?
Yeah, yeah. Share it with other people. But,
so I'm into that. I think that's cool.
There's so much incredible effort that goes into this kind of thing. You'd think they'd get a little more out of it. That's the only thing that kind of bugs me. I'm not like dissing it or anything.
I don't know what more you want them to get out of it. You want them to get monetary compensation for it?
It's so incredible what they put into it. You think they'd be able to... Do they sell it like on eBay maybe? Like,
some of them do, but why do you need to sell it for it to be worth doing?
Like, I don't know. It just... Like seems I make like kind of a waste.
I make music, and it'd be cool if I could sell it. But
But
I don't do it to make money. You know?
That's true.
It's just fun to do.
That's true. Yeah, I stand corrected. Good point.
What else? This is harder to do than I thought it would be.
Oh,
I like. Well, we both like music a lot.
Music.
I like making music. I like to play the guitar.
This has come up before. Yeah, like. People asking what our favorite music or artists were.
Yeah, we were asked to talk about our favorite music.
This came up more than
favorite
once.
Bands.
Yeah,
and there are a couple problems I have with that. One, I couldn't actually give you a top 10 list. There's just no way I couldn't do it.
Yeah, like favorite all time ever till I die. That's not going to happen.
Even if it was my favorite all time for right now, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah,
it's just too hard to rank.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we could talk
so much
about
out there and
music that we like. I like the Shins a lot. I've been listening to them recently.
Yeah.
I like the Unicorns. The Unicorns are pretty great.
They're
really weird and kind of out there. I like Of Montreal. Let's see. Well, what do you like?
I like all kinds of, and growing up, I don't know if anyone else can relate, but, you know, being in high school, I liked one type of music, and you know, I stood by that. I like this music, and your music is shit. And growing up, you know, you learn to like and appreciate other kinds of music. It's not that big of a deal. Like, maybe it's because back in the day, like Kyle and I were like punk rock,
yeah,
you know, like the fuck the establishment and all that shit. So we like this kind of music, but fuck pop, fuck everything else. And then you grow up and you realize that's just, you know, adolescent bullshit. God.
Yeah, I had the same problem in high school. I I had certain kinds of music that I would like, and anything else was bullshit. The problem is, actually, in my own head, there were other things that I liked.
Yeah, but you wouldn't admit
it. But I wouldn't admit it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, that might be interesting. Is there any music that you are into that
I wouldn't admit?
That you either wouldn't normally
admit,
back
in the day?
Or that you in high school would have like laughed at you for liking?
Well, I do have a great appreciation for like stupid hip hop, like club music and shit, like T-Pain and all that shit. I love it. And I love it because of this. Like, you know, you grow up and you appreciate more music, blah, blah, blah. But I like it because it sounds cool. And say I get a few beers in me and we're having a party, you know, it's good shit to play, you know, in the background, party music and shit. It's hard to explain. I don't like it because I'm breaking it down technically. You know, I love his lyrics and I love this. It's just, you know, you hear it, you like it. That's it, pretty much.
I do like some rap for the lyrics, but mostly it makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a comedic.
I love Ludacris's lyrics.
Fucking Luda.
Fucking Luda.
Ludacris. Yeah,
Eminem's also one that, not all the time, but I like his lyrics.
You appreciate the style, what they're doing, because especially after I tried to make music, my God, my appreciation for all kinds of music expanded. Like, what they can do, even if you don't like it, they still have skill, and it's...
I remember once in high school, I told a kid that I knew that I barely noticed the drums in songs, and it was true, I didn't. And then if you took the drums out of a song, I would know there was something missing, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what it was. That's what I told him. I said the drums weren't that important.
That's an asshole thing to say.
Well, that was how I felt about it, because I didn't notice the drums. I noticed the guitars or whatever else, whatever was playing the melody.
All right.
But I wouldn't really notice the drums, because they're just kind of back there keeping the structure, you know, keeping the beat. But they're not really a musical element in the same sense. But since I have started making music myself, because at the time I hadn't been, I owned a guitar, but I didn't ever learn to play it until like the summer after high school. So when I started learning to make music, I started making music on my own. And I don't actually have a drum set, but I would have to at least compose like a synth drum beat, you know?
Yeah.
And I realized that the drums are pretty fucking important. I mean, you can have a song without drums and it's fine, but songs with drums, if you take the drums out, it sounds weaker. It just completely changes the sound of the song.
Yeah, it's very important.
So trying to make music yourself really does change your appreciation of it.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And it changes how you listen to it, too. Because, like, I would listen to songs with rock guitars, but I wouldn't really know what was going on. I knew I liked it. Yeah. But now I listen to it and I can actually kind of imagine how it's being put together.
Yeah.
And I can hear the different parts better, you know?
Yeah, the same with hip hop and rap, you know, like the beats. You think they're so simple. They just put a beat together and boom, you know, bada bing, bada boom, it's done. No, there's more to it. And though it might not be as extensive as some songs, there's other music out there that's got some, you know, some more dedication to the process, but you have to appreciate everything, you know, even country. Well, I don't know.
There very little, but there is some country that I genuinely like.
Depends on everything.
And I can at least appreciate it as a form of music. Like I said, I can listen to it and hear the different parts and hear how it went together and what went into making it. You know, I can at least appreciate it on that level.
Yeah. Basically that's it. Yeah.
In terms of music that like I would have either laughed at myself for liking in high school or that I would be maybe, I'm really not ashamed to admit what I listen to now, but if I was...
Back in the day.
If I was ashamed to admit what I listened to...
What?
Oh. The things that I think I'd be most ashamed to admit are I genuinely enjoy Avril Lavigne. I do. I don't care what anybody else says. I genuinely enjoy it.
I would so fuck Avril Lavigne.
Oh, I would absolutely fuck Avril Lavigne, but that's not necessarily why I like it.
Yeah. You ever notice that kind of thing with girls, like they only like music based on how hot the band members are?
It's obviously not all girls, but a lot of girls, anything that they like that's done by a guy, the guy is so hot. I would so fuck him.
Do you like the music? Yeah, it's great, but I would so fuck that guy.
You know, they're at a concert in the front screaming,
fuck,
fuck me.
Fuck me. And that actually happened, yeah. I was at that Blink concert.
Yep.
I couldn't enjoy myself because there were like four like 12-year-old chicks just screaming, fuck me, fuck me.
Right.
Oh my God. And I'm just it ruined it. But
yeah, so I genuinely like Avril Lavigne. It's this catchy like power pop punk rock thing. It's not really punk rock, but it's got that kind of vibe to it, and I don't know. I just genuinely like it. It's catchy.
And it pisses me off when people establish themselves on a certain genre of music. Like, I only like this kind of music. And they kind of live their life based on that kind
of
shit.
Like, yeah, there are a lot of people, especially people who are into, like, metal. Especially people who are into some variation of rock music, I've noticed.
Yeah.
They seem to be the most elitist, snobby assholes.
Elitist. Well, them,
and some people who are into, like, indie music, who are, like, on the cutting edge. They're the same kind of people who, if their favorite band becomes popular, they don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Or they don't like the people who listen to it now. You know what I mean? Like, oh, all these idiots are listening to it now. It's ruining it. Well, how is it ruining it? It's the same music it was before.
Yeah, fuck you. Like, back in the day.
And honestly, if you really like an artist, you should be happy for them if they get a song on the
radio.
Yeah,
that's where I was getting at. Yeah, like, they start out small. What do you expect them to do? Like, they want popularity. They want more and more people to listen to them so they get big, God forbid.
Right.
And you know, back in the day, we were like, oh, they're selling out. Fuck them.
I never actually did that because I remember.
I did, though. Yeah.
I remember
and I'm ashamed.
In high school, we were pretty into, well, I don't know if you were or not, but a bunch of us were pretty into the band Less Than Jake.
Less Than Jake, yeah.
And they're still good. I still like them, but I haven't listened to them in a long time. But
yeah.
They had a song on the radio at one point.
Much later, yeah. They finally came on the radio.
They finally had this song on the radio. I'm sure in different territories, they probably had already been played on the radio on certain stations or whatever. But
yeah, possibly. Yeah.
They had this big song that was on the radio, and one of our friends was pissed.
Yeah.
Because that they were selling out, and all these assholes were going to start listening to them now.
Yeah. And I was totally on his page. Yeah, like,
even
I agree.
Even if all these assholes that you don't like start listening to it, that's not going to ruin the actual music. You should still be happy for the artist because it's still going to be up to them what they record next.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to completely change your sound to try to sound like something that's more marketable.
Okay.
That would be selling out. But just getting popular, that's not selling out. That's just getting popular. You almost have no control over that.
You'd have to, you're a total asshole, if you... If you think that way, like, take a step back and really evaluate what you're establishing your call outs on. Like, I don't like this band because of this, because they're selling out. Well, why? They're getting more fans? Fuck you.
Right. And now, maybe they'll be able
to
make a living on their music.
Yeah.
They won't have to sleep in their car when they go on tour.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Fuck those people. And like, me and Kyle and I, you know, we go to the mall and we see these like super fucking punk rock wannabes, like with the spiked mohawks and shit. And we were there at some point and we look at that now and it's like,
I mean, I'm still fine with it. I don't have a problem with it.
But I can imagine, and I shouldn't.
It's the attitude that bothers me.
Attitude.
I don't mind the aesthetic. You can dress like whatever you want. I might think it looks stupid.
The upside down flag. I used to wear that. You know? I used to wear that, and then, you know, I came to my senses. Well, if you don't like it, get the fuck out. Fuck you.
I thought the upside down flag was kind of cool.
But I don't think most people mean it in the way, like...
You know. See, I thought the upside down flag was cool because it was offensive. Like, to me, that was like, that was like wearing a t-shirt around that said, I love niggers, you know? Like, I would think that was cool because it's offensive and people are going to freak out for no real reason. Yeah. Especially with... The thing that I love about stuff that says, I love niggers, not that there's a lot of it out there, but the thing that I love about that phrase is because it's technically a positive phrase. There's nothing to be offended by in that phrase.
You love them.
Niggers, all it's niggers really word. Means is black people.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, it's positive. In this context, it's actually positive.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing to be offended by, but because you're using this racial slur... It makes everybody crazy anyway. That's the kind of thing that I like.
Yeah.
Like, hanging a flag upside down really doesn't mean anything.
It's, technically. But with these kids, I know they're like, they abide by this. You know, fuck the establishment, fuck America, yeah, the government, everything. Well,
I agree with that to an extent. Unless, I don't know about fuck America, but fuck some of the establishment at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But not like not just for being the establishment. Like, yeah. I don't know. What else?
You are an establishment.
I also really like Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, yeah.
I really like the song I Kissed a Girl.
I kissed a girl,
yeah,
and I liked it.
And there's there's another song that she has that I really like. But again, this is stuff that I'm not ashamed to admit just because I don't care anymore. But if I had been in high school, there's no way I would have ever told you that I liked Avril Lavigne or Katy Perry.
Do you have a drunk anthem, like a song that you love while you're intoxicated?
Not really.
Really?
No. Oh, do you?
Man, the Top Gun soundtrack? Danger Zone, man. I will strip naked and jump on tables if I'm home alone and just be drunk and just, oh, that is so sweet.
That's great.
Don't. And that, and there's other songs, but yeah, just, but my one theme that I tell everybody about is Lady Gaga and her Just Dance. That will get me moving.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I get my exercise off of that if I get a few in me. I love that fucking song.
Do you dance to it? What do you do?
Oh yeah. I school everybody.
Yeah.
I'll be in a fucking black club and I'll be like, fuck this shit. That song comes on.
Speaking of dancing, do you remember when we were all drunk and we came home from the bar and all decided to learn the Cupid Shuffle?
Oh, God, don't you do.
If you're not familiar with it, the Cupid Shuffle, there's a dance that goes with this song. And the song, I think, is called the Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah.
And the dance is called the Cupid Shuffle. And it's essentially a line dance for black people. You know, it's like.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, they all get together and do exactly the same dance.
They get in a line. Yeah.
And do the exact same moves and do, you know, they all move as one big group.
Yep.
They're not facing each other or anything. They're all just facing the same direction.
Now walk it by yourself. Now walk it by yourself.
Yeah,
To the left, to the right.
Yeah. Now kick. Now walking by yourself.
That fucking... Where
and
are you
we
going
were
with this?
We were drunk and we were trying to do this dance. I just thought it was funny because you were talking about school and everybody, and we were trying to do this dance. And Orion was running into walls. At one point, he was dancing with the wall. You're supposed to at a certain point in the dance, you're supposed to turn, and then now you're
the
facing
walk it by yourself.
Now you're supposed to turn like 90 degrees. Now you're facing another direction.
Yeah, when you walk it by yourself and you turn 90 degrees, you're supposed to do your own thing.
Well, Orion turned 90 degrees, but then he just never turned again. So he's dancing with the wall.
And I God damn you.
It's just funny. It's funny.
Well, I had a lot that night.
I think you were
normally I'm a lot better at dancing. I'm a lot better.
I'm sure you're a better dancer
than
that
I am, one
but
night,
that night you were wasted.
When before me and Aldi went out and we were at the club for her birthday and it was like all black chicks on the stage and I was up there doing my thing and this one chick was like looking at me and goes, "Damn, that white boy can dance." Oh, that was awesome.
I do remember that
night. I was like, damn right.
That was the only time I ever got dragged to a real club. Like,
yeah.
this was a dance club. Everybody's wearing, like, really short mini skirts and, like, nice dress clothes. And
basically out there to hook up.
This was a club, and there were mirrors all around the dance floor. I got dragged on the dance floor, like, two or three times, and I just would stand there and do the stupidest dances in the world. And I was wearing this tux I got at the Salvation Army that didn't fit right. Like the pants were, I don't know if I talked about this before, but I had this tux.
I never heard about this.
And I bought this, well, you were living with me at the time. I had this tux that I bought at the Salvation Army. And the jacket mostly fit. It was a little tight in the shoulders.
Wow. Now but the pants, I remember, yeah.
The pants were fucking enormous. And they came together as a, they went together.
They
and they came
set,
together
yeah.
as a set. So like this was some guy.
The one guy.
With a tiny upper body and a fucking enormous ass. But so I had to like put a belt on. This thing didn't have belt loops either, I don't think, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
But I had to like put a belt so on around it without actually putting it through any belt loops.
Awkward. Yeah.
And I was wearing this like this like homeless guy tuxedo and
at the club.
At
yeah.
the club, yeah.
Oh my God.
I keep getting dragged out on the dance floor. And
oh, that's awkward.
Yeah. And then somebody was trying to like grind with me. It was somebody we knew, I think. I don't remember though.
Oh, yeah.
And that just makes me giggle.
People are indifferent about, you know, dancing and shit. Like, if a guy wants to dance, he's gay, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with dancing. It's just not something I do, really.
Expressing, you know, some angst, some sexuality, and just getting that across.
It's not really very natural for me to dance. It's just not something I feel the urge to do. Yeah. So if you try to get me to dance, I'm either going to make a joke out of it,
okay,
or I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah,
but it's not because I'm like, oh, dancing is gay. You guys are idiots for dancing. If you want to dance, if you like dancing, that's fine with me.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
But so some girl was trying to like bump and grind with me on the dance floor, you know, and this has happened to me on a number of occasions. Somebody will try to get up on me and grind on me.
Kyle is a hottie.
Well, it's not that. They're just trying to dance, but it just makes me giggle. And it reminds me of like in the bedroom with a lady.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to talk dirty.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned this before, but dirty talk just makes me laugh. I can't do it. I mean, it's hot. I get it, but I can't do it. Like, I can't be like, you like that cock, don't you? You know,
it's,
like,
it's for some. Because
then I will
others,
bust
yeah.
out laughing.
It can get ridiculous.
There's nothing. Like, I can't. Just
I'm
you like
dirty
that, don't
slut.
You?
I'm your dirty slut. Fuck me. I'm your whore.
Right. It'd be one thing if it was like a total one night stand kind of thing. Like, I'd never really met this girl before, but like she's saying things like, I'm your dirty slut, or calling me daddy or something. Although I don't have anything about, like, the daddy thing doesn't do anything for me. But if she was saying stuff like that, it wouldn't necessarily make me laugh. Yeah. Maybe because it'd be kind of like watching porn. But if it's some girl that I'm like
ridiculous
that I've been hanging out with for a long time, we're friends, we started dating, and now we're doing it, and she's I love your cock in my poos.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounds funny to me.
A casual relationship, suddenly.
Like, I have to talk to you normal after this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird to me. Like, this is not how you talk. I know you. I don't know. It's just strange.
That's strange, yeah.
It makes me laugh.
Out of the ordinary.
And then, of course, that ruins it if I laugh.
Yep.
I guess it depends on who you're with. But if they're like, you know.
Well, it's so out of the fucking ordinary, yeah.
Fuck me harder. And then I giggle. And it ruins it.
Well, that's not so bad.
Well, not that one in particular isn't that. Yeah. I can't think of any
whole,
crazy
like,
ones, but.
Call me your whore. I'm your dirty whore. Slap me.
If anybody ever asked me to choke them during sex, I would probably laugh my ass off. I don't know why. Just
fetishes.
Yeah. Spank
general,
my ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
Involving just me.
Yeah. I don't really have any fetishes. The closest, I might have mentioned this before, the closest I have is that I think that for some reason, girls in like those long, like almost knee-high tube socks with like the colored stripes around the top.
Yeah.
That does something for me for some reason. But it's not the tube socks. Like I don't, you know, I wouldn't jerk off over a pair of tube socks. So it's not really a fetish. It's not like I'm sexualizing the object. It's like, it's just, it's kind of like lingerie, you know?
Yeah. It's just, you don't like pick and choose this shit. It either turns you on or it doesn't. It's not your fault, like your choice.
Another thing that I don't like that a lot of people do, and I think I'm in the minority on, is I hate open-toed shoes.
I do too.
I don't know why.
It scrunches them up, makes them look disfigured.
It looks like your shoe is broken. Like, your shoe is open in the front, and there's like I can see all your little toes in there. I'm not a big fan of feet to begin with.
Kyle hates feet.
No, I used to. They don't bother me anymore. When I was younger, for some reason, feet just grossed me out.
Yeah.
They don't bother me anymore, but they're still not like the most attractive body part. So,
especially on a man.
I'm not talking about men feet, though.
Women feet can be beautiful. You know?
No, they're just feet. Uh-huh. They're like retarded hands.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. There's nothing hot about a foot.
It depends on the foot. That's
I do like,
my opinion.
I do like high heels, but closed-toed high heels. Like, I hate those like porn star heels, the ones that are made out of clear plastic.
Yeah.
And like it's just a clear plastic like wedge with like a heel, and then your foot just goes on top of it, and there are clear plastic straps that strap it in.
Yeah.
Those are completely tacky to me. I don't know why I don't like them.
Yeah, I hate porno. You know, movies that have the high heels on the porno chicks.
That doesn't bother me. Like a pair of like normal black stilettos would be hot to me. But
I'm always thinking, what? Well, I'm always thinking like you could have taken those off. That's a little awkward. You
I like him to
stab the
on.
Guy in his fucking nuts or his stomach. Well,
why are you stepping on his balls?
It's a possible casualty. I don't know.
Are you getting a lot of
take
foot jobs
off.
That I don't know about?
Take them off.
I think it's hot when they leave them on.
Naked. That's hot.
No, I like it when they leave a little bit on.
All right.
I like stockings and I like high heels. Yeah. Like a naked chick in a pair of high heels. I think that's hot. But it's not the high heels. Like people who have shoe fetishes.
Yeah.
It's not that. Because like I said, I wouldn't jerk off over a pair of high heels. There's nothing hot about them by themselves.
Oh. Next episode should be all about what we would jerk off to.
Would you or wouldn't you?
Yeah,
would present different hypothetical situations. Would you or would you not get a boner if this happened?
What turns you on? Yeah. And that should get many comments.
Is there anything else positive you can think of to talk
positive?
About?
I'm
trying to keep this positive. I already went into some things I don't like.
Oh, there's this one time.
Uh-oh.
Oral sex. Oh, there's so many variations. And most people be like, what are you talking about? I get oral. You know, I'm in the bedroom and they're doing their thing. You got to think outside the box, my friends. And in one particular case, I was getting roadhead.
I was going to ask if you've ever done the roadhead thing.
Yeah.
I never have.
It was awesome. And I was very reluctant. But we were driving along. I'm driving, you know, getting it. And we hit some train tracks. And I hit the horn. And it went, you know.
Meep.
And then it became like a laughing stock on her part. And she's laughing with my D in her mouth. But, you know, I was laughing too. But then I was like, ooh, that kind of feels good when you laugh while it's in your mouth. So I'm like, maybe you should maybe sing me a song while it's in your mouth.
I don't think I would enjoy roadhead as much in practice as I do in theory.
Yeah,
because it seems like it would be awkward, and I'm having
so
to concentrate
naughty,
on doing something else. I get the taboo.
Tech.
I get the naughtiness.
The naughtiness.
I get why it's hot. Like I said, it's hot in my head, but I think in practice, it would be awkward.
Yeah,
like I'm trying to drive.
It's very easy for most sexual, you know, encounters to be awkward. Not
like
you think in the porno or the movies or whatever.
To me, it would be like actively trying to watch a movie while getting a blowjob. Like
I kind of think
I'm
about
in the middle
too.
Of something.
Like, I'm doing it because, you know, it's been mentioned or possibly in a porno.
Now, most of the time, if I was watching a movie and somebody was like, blowjob, I'd be like, okay, off with the movie, or I'd just stop paying attention. But if I was actively trying to watch a movie while getting a blowjob, I don't think it would really work out that well because I'd be distracted. And
yeah, you're distracted by the thought, you know. It's a little over the top, but it's all good.
Yeah. Hmm. Other than sex, Orion, is there anything else positive you want to talk
about? I'm done. That is
it.
All.
All the things you like in life have been
oral
exhausted.
Sex, yeah.
I like Manhunt, and I like rap music, and I like oral sex.
Oh, God.
That's
this
it.
This is horrible.
That's everything I like in life.
Oh, man. Hmm. Not enough time to throw in everything I love about life, obviously. But that sums it up.
Yeah. I guess.
All right.
I guess you guys will have to tell us how you feel about the new positive hijab. Because I don't know. I think this might have been kind of boring. It's fine, but.
No way. No way. This is awesome. That should do it, though.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap
the episode.
Show up.
Let's wrap it up.
And hopefully there will be a wrap after the outro music.
Yeah.
So,
like we said, we're still working on it, but
now that we said it in the show, in this show, that it's going to be at the end of the show, we're pretty much going to have to finish it. So.
No. Well, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay.
It'll be awesome.
All right.
And leave comments about it.
Your minds
and,
will be blown.
Yeah.
And I'll also post like an actual link to an MP3 because the show is in mono, so it's going to like lose a little bit.
Yeah, it's got to be in stereo.
So I'll post an actual link
effect.
To the MP3 that you can download. Maybe we should make a music video for it.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on YouTube or something.
Don't make a deadline, though.
Oh, I won't make a deadline for that, because that'll just have to happen when we have
both
time.
Have day jobs. I don't know when that'll happen.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea. We should do that.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, that is enough for this week.
That is all.
I just had a terrible thought. As usual, you can contact us fucking everywhere. Email me at Kyle@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
And or Orion@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Or you can send us a voicemail at 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581. And do it.
Please. Become a fan on the Facebook. Someday there will be a MySpace, I promise.
Fuck MySpace.
One day. Yeah, that's it.
That'll be it. Check us next week, motherfuckers. We will blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
Later!
Ow!
Everybody listen, I know I said I'd try to refrain from all the dissing, but nothing gets me